We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We've had a lively conversation here today with our callers, and we will get back to Robert if he calls back here, but we'll move on at the moment. City Commission meets tonight, 7 o'clock, and we haven't quite gotten to the general agenda yet. Just one item on that tonight, and that's a discussion of having to do with housing, I guess.
And this was a topic that we spent some time on at the goal-setting retreat, too. It's always been something that's been front and center for the commission in the past and looking at different things relative to housing. And so one of the capital improvement program items that the commission approved for this year is to perform a housing study. And currently that's couched as a housing market analysis and policy strategy study. And so there's a lot of folks that have given input to the commission, a lot of stakeholder groups about different issues regarding housing. Some folks have used affordable housing, others have used suitable housing, safe housing, all kinds of things. And so part of this is, as we start the process to do this study, is to define what it is we want. And so this is really tonight a conversation with the commission and somewhat with the community about what we want to accomplish by this study. And so we have a draft request for proposal that speaks to initially some thoughts of what this study is hopefully going to cover. And so one of the items is to kind of introduce the term of suitable versus affordable or something like that. Suitable covers a broader area than just affordability, and it could mean things like what's appropriate as far as size, i.e. square footage, number of bedrooms, the type, whether it's a single-family home, detached home, townhome, apartment, good quality and code compliant, and within a price range affordable to an individual's income. So do you have enough of that variability across the community, and what are the areas of housing that are in demand that we don't have enough of? And should we be doing things to encourage renovation of housing, for example? And are there different programs that will do that with that, different neighborhoods that might come into play? And so we look forward to having a discussion with the commission as we start to do this. So right now, the timeline for this study is really to go through a selection process, engage stakeholders that have interest in housing in the community, and ultimately be part of a broad group for discussion, and then likely have a consultant and a scope for that consultant defined and started probably midsummer, somewhere around that timeline. So we were just starting the conversation, if you will, with this. No actions expected tonight on this particular item. It's really tagged as a discussion item and just really starting that process. If the commission can come to consensus on some terms, we would schedule the request for qualifications, permission from them to start that process to different firms that might be interested in performing that. There's been some in the past. It's been quite a while since we've done one in Manhattan. It was the early 2000s when we did the last one. And so there's been some different types of surveys that have been done by different entities in the community that's looked at a piece of different aspects of housing. So there's lots of discussion to be had to cover that.
Mm-hmm. No, I think this is going to be a really good discussion. You know, we've had over the years, at least the 6 or 7 years I've been on the City Commission, housing has always come up, whether you talk about rental housing, affordable housing, suitable housing, whatever it might be. And then there was a group a year or two ago that focused mainly on housing. And one of the things we discussed was a housing advisory board, and see what kind of, I think Lawrence has something like that set up. So what would be their objectives? When we think about housing, and even Trent Armbrust mentioned this, it's not our youth. We always focus on our, you know, students at a university, but it's the seniors that are on fixed incomes that also, that's the demographics that's expanding much faster than any other demographic. And sometimes they're the ones we're missing the boat on as far as when we think about housing. And I think this would be good for us to look at. There's communities that are doing a variety of different things, but they gave us options with Lawrence, Fort Collins, and all of these ideas. Not only how expensive it is, or what does affordable look like, what type of housing. One of the things that we mentioned was high density areas where people can walk to everywhere instead of having to buy a car. People are trying to be a little bit more frugal on a type of housing, may not want a backyard anymore. I may look at a place for more for their pets as opposed to children playing in their backyard. So there's so many things going on as far as housing, and we can't ignore the problem. It's not just about rentals or rental inspections and such, or even if they're not up to code or nonconforming, whatever that might be. But when we think about Manhattan, it has been consistently said that it's a very expensive place to live. So we need to look at what we can do better. What should we be asking of our developers? What can we be doing to make sure everybody has access to affordable and suitable housing? And it's a complex situation, but these are things we need to think about, even with Kansas State University and Fort Riley, as well as our seniors that are, you know, wanting to downsize and see, make sure we have something for everybody, because we want them to ultimately live and retire and stay in Manhattan, Kansas. And so I think it's going to be a good conversation to have.
All right. I have a question, but I'll hold my thought here until we talk with Robert here. Good morning, Robert. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for covering the housing situation. You know, that would also increase the tax base for the city. If you had those tiny houses, you go down the alley behind Morrow and you see where the slum landlords won't mow the backyard anyway, we could sure have a couple of tiny houses in those for the older people being able to walk to town and the new medical facility and the different things there. Thank you for that. But I'm going to beat on an old dead cow about a situation that I feel compelled to always talk to you about. Out at the airport, limited time during the day, ATA bus goes past the front of the airport every hour and does not swing in there to pick up people or drop off employees or whatever we could use. That is another convenience that could be included on the transportation, just like the Ubers or family and friends coming to get the people. It's just application that would indicate some kind of an interest in the people that you're wanting to go through the Manhattan airport. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you.
I just point out that in our parking lot improvement project, we do have an area that will be constructed for not only transit stops, loading and unloading, but other cabs and types of transportation for hire type of vehicles for that to occur. And so we're constructing a specific area for them to be able to do that. And certainly we're very interested in ATA being willing to help provide transportation alternatives to the airport.
All right. Getting back to a little bit to housing here, has the city ever considered infill housing? I know that's been a success in some communities.
So, depending on what you mean by infill housing,
if you have vacant lots in your city, developing housing there.
Sure. I mean, that's always that's one of the things I would say. You know, Habitat has focused a lot over the years on trying to identify some of those lots and having those become available for that type of housing. And so that's certainly, there's an ability to do that in our processes now in our zoning that with that. We've done a lot of different analysis in some of our the new urban core district, supposed to be very high dense next to the university. We've got our multifamily overlays, which has transitioned some of those homes. And then we have our more traditional neighborhood overlay, where we have more traditional homes that are hoping to keep families in. And I think one of the things, as we look at areas where the schools continue to make significant investments in our, what I would call our neighborhood elementary schools in the old war districts, that we still try to keep those neighborhoods viable for families to attend those schools. And that's something that, some of the vacancies that we have, there's been some discussion about, do we need some kind of, some communities have done what we call a neighborhood revitalization program, where you may give some incentives to folks to fix up some of those folks, that some of those houses that have been primarily student rentals and converting them back to a family rental situation, and can be a high cost to do that renovation. But it's a program that gives some incentives to folks to, as they increase the investment in that, some of that investment to be refunded through the increased tax levels that might be there. So there's a number of programs that can work for whether it's infill or rehab of older homes that might not that need a lot of work to fix them up.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of things to this. You know, it's a complex situation in the sense we do have the Manhattan Housing Authority, which works with some of the Section 8 housing, and we have the Community Housing Development Organization, which also has affordable housing. And I say that in quotes because it's not there's different systems set up for each of them. And we do have over 60% that rent in Kansas, in Manhattan. But the other piece is homelessness. So we have a lot of people that are homeless, and we fail to recognize that fact, that homelessness looks different. It's not about just somebody under a bridge. These are people that may have been evicted because of other challenges in their life and might have had to move in with a friend or a relative, and now you have 10 people in a house or something of that sort. That's also considered homelessness. So I think that some of those things we need to look at. Bureaucracy gets in the way. Not everybody is fluent in filling out all of that paperwork. It can be extremely confusing and daunting. And then there are certain requirements you have to meet. And for a variety of reasons, those might be also difficult to meet. So we need to address these from a holistic manner. What you don't want us to do is deny or even try to figure out solutions to a problem we think that doesn't exist. As a school teacher, I know lots of students and families that are homeless but are not under a bridge, so they're not going to be arrested or anything of that sort. But they are in shelters. They are evicted. They're being very mobile and just going around with a backpack or a suitcase here and there. Domestic violence is a big piece of this as well. When a spouse has to leave with their children, they end up in a shelter. And if they want to find a house, what are some of those mechanisms? What are some things we can do for not only our university students and military families and our seniors, but also these individuals that don't know how to navigate that system? So there might be vacancies in some of these Section 8 housing pieces, but how do we make it more accessible for them? Because that's what we should be doing. We should be trying to provide shelter for individuals in Manhattan and in the United States. So,
all right. I need to take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up our conversation here with Mayor Reddy and City Manager Fear on InFocus.